You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
We are indeed speaking with MP of Te Rōpū Ngāhi Ngara, the National Party, Jamie Lee. Kia ora, how are you going?
Kelly, good to be with you.
Good to be with you. I know, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
The good.
The feedback out there has been really good. I mean, I've been out in the main street and in the supermarkets chatting to people. I think that we'll have a big turnout this election because there's a lot of interest. But in Botany, certainly feels good.
Good, very good. Well, I suppose it'll be a tense next few hours for you. Obviously, we're focusing on housing, so I'll just get straight into it. Housing crisis, what's National going to do about it?
Build more homes, free up more land, and help people with more grants through the Home Start schemes. We could chat about figures next 20 minutes, but the bottom line is Auckland needs to build more homes, New Zealand needs to build more homes. That's the only way you're going to get more assistance for people and see the house prices not go up any further. In Auckland, we've changed the entry plan, which will change the regulations and free up more land. We've got home completions up from 10 a day that we were getting when we first became government. It's now 40 a day. We've had $128 million being poured into Home Start grants for people, which has been great. And I think what you're actually seeing in the Auckland market now is all of that supply and the work that we've put into it for the past few years has finally caught up, and the house prices in Auckland, if anything, are starting to drop a little bit. Which you don't want them to go too far, because that would lead to a whole lot of people in a position where they have negative equity, but we don't want them going up further so that people can catch up and get into homes.
So I was speaking to a journalist this morning who you may have heard of, who did a documentary called Who Owns New Zealand, and he said that by building more houses, which you and Labour are both proposing to do, doesn't actually create affordable homes if people can't afford the deposit or the mortgage payments, where it sort of creates the second economy where wealthy citizens and immigrants can just accumulate assets, because it's not really dealing with the problems of the first economy where there's just not enough money for housing.
Well, home completion rates are up considerably. There's a whole lot more land being made available for housing, and through the Home Start scheme we are seeing more houses being built at the lower end of the market. Home Start grants in Auckland to buy a house, you have to buy a house under $600,000, or if it's a new one, $650,000. We know from the statistics that there's about 18% of houses in Auckland are at that level, below $600,000. So that suggests to you that there are homes there in the affordable range. No, not every home built is going to be affordable. That's just the reality of the situation in the market. You're going to see a broad range of houses being built. But I think more and more people are opening their minds to the fact that you don't have to start with a home that's on a quarter acre section with a huge amount of land. I mean, take my wife and myself, for example. We started an apartment, then we moved to a townhouse, then we moved to a larger house. We need to have a market which is building options for people and a broad range of different homes and styles to suit different circumstances. That needs to be built, and we are seeing that happening. Also, under the new planning laws through the entry plan, you'll see more houses that are greater density. You'll see houses which are more affordable because they're not on large amounts of land. You must remember, it's the land which drives unaffordable housing the most. And if you have more houses on smaller pieces of land, you are able to get house prices stabilised more.
So David Seymour, Phil Twyford and Duncan Garner have all made claims that the number of houses in Auckland is around, being built in Auckland, is around 6,800 a year. And Amy Adams was actually unable to give an exact figure, but National's goal was 13,000 homes a year in Auckland. Do you have a response to the criticism of why there's not enough homes, and why voters should trust National to deliver on housing after this sort of revelation?
Well, I think the evidence is showing the house completion rates are up considerably. I mentioned those numbers again. When we became government, 10 houses a day were being built. Now it's 40 houses a day. There's a building boom in Auckland, and house consenting has gone up rapidly as well. There's more people in trades training. There's more people coming into the country that are able to build more homes, and you are seeing more homes being completed. No, I don't have an exact figure. The Auckland Council is not issuing 13,000 consents a year, but it's not too far shy of that. But the bottom line is we have to lift that up. I don't buy into the argument that our friends on the other side will say that the government needs to build everything. I think it's a mixture of the government and private sector. In terms of what we're doing, We're building 34,000 new homes over the next few years on Crown-owned land, and about a third of those will be social houses, and the other two-thirds will be a mixture of affordable and market homes. We're building a range of houses, but we need the private sector to do its job as well, and the way to do that is open up more land. Over the next 30 years, Auckland Council is predicting that they'll have enough land available for about 420,000 new homes. And that's a big boost that we need in supply.
So just going back to that, the idea of the land being the commodity, this documentary that was released by the journalist I spoke to was about how that you can pretty much call in from overseas and buy land, and the government has no record or data or any sort of information saying...
That's not true.
Okay, so I just wanted to find out from you, is this, do we know how many people, what nationalities own New Zealand? Because he's claiming that we have no idea who owns our forests, who owns our farms. You can pretty much just call in and own land. You can buy a house over the phone.
That might have been the case previously, but a few years ago we changed the law. So if you want to buy a house now, you have to provide an IRD number. If you don't already have an IRD number, you have to provide a foreign tax number to get the IRD number. By providing that foreign tax ID number, we know where people are coming from, where they're tax resident, and we have a good amount of statistics now. It would be almost impossible to go and find out exactly the nationality or tax residency of every piece of land in New Zealand. I challenge anybody to suggest how you could write a law to do that and compel that comprehensively. But going forward, from when we passed that law a couple of years ago, we know where people are tax resident, and we know that it's harder for people now to purchase a home because the bright line test is in place, and that scares off speculators. We also know that there's been a lot of people from overseas, when they're required to connect their foreign tax ID number with the New Zealand IRD number, where we have greater anti-money laundering legislation and regulations in place. It also scares a whole lot of them off too. So the evidence, and both anecdotal and statistically, that we've had is that the measures we've put in with the Brightline test, with requiring them to provide an IRD number and connect it with their foreign tax ID number, that's pushed a whole lot of people out of the market too that otherwise were overseas, that were buying and selling houses quite easily. We know where people are coming from now, and we know that the vast bulk and majority of houses property transfers in New Zealand between New Zealanders.
So you can, you know, positively say, confidently say that New Zealand owns most of their houses. This isn't foreign investment coming in and monopolising it.
Yeah, the issue I have with a lot of people that says that the foreign is buying houses without evidence and statistics to back it up. It's those people going to auctions, looking around and seeing a whole lot of faces that aren't white, and suggesting that there's foreigners buying houses, when you and I know, Kelly, Auckland's very multicultural, my electorate particularly is very multicultural, and of course you're going to see Chinese faces, you're going to see Korean faces in auctions buying homes, because Auckland has a whole lot of people that look like that and are originally maybe from Korea, first, second, third, fourth generation of Chinese or Korean or from Asian countries. That doesn't mean they're not New Zealanders, though, that are buying homes. Now, land information...
No, I mean, I'm more talking about people that are buying homes from their home country. That's where they are, and they're buying them, you know, they're investing from overseas.
Yeah.
And then maybe renting these homes out at, you know, enormous prices and making it really difficult for New Zealanders who don't have enough money or aren't...
That's not true, though.
Whose wages aren't high enough.
So when you've got 5 minutes this afternoon, Kelly... When you're off here, go onto Land Information New Zealand's website. Their most recent data release, which is the data they collect from all property transfers where you are required to provide an IRD number, that data will show you that 3% of property transfers in New Zealand were purchases from people that were foreign tax residents. If you want cold hard stats and real information that we collect now, because we changed the law so we can collect information, it shows you that there's very few people that are overseas that are buying properties in New Zealand. People can argue all they like that there's foreigners buying housing, but they don't have real numbers to stack up next to it. The real numbers we have through Land Information New Zealand suggest it's very, very low.
So New Zealand signed up to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, saying that you know, in 1970 saying that adequate housing is a fundamental right. Do you think that we're seeing that in New Zealand at the moment with such a high rate of homelessness and, you know, leaky homes and really unhealthy homes?
We need to do better, and we are doing better, and we're seeing that there's more insulation going into homes to keep them warmer that we put in place through a grant scheme, might have been 6 or 7 years ago now. There's more requirements in place around what tenanted houses have to have, and I think we're seeing the quality of homes increasing as we're seeing more stock coming into the market as well. We're also putting a whole lot more money, about a third of $1 billion into social housing, on top of the $2.5 billion that US taxpayers spend on accommodation support for people through Work and Income New Zealand, where we support 300,000 people a year. We're seeing more work going into assisting people. The Housing First scheme, which works very closely with people that are homeless on the street, is seeing results as well. About 80% of those that are worked with through the Housing First scheme end up into housing. We're seeing more work going into that too, where we're able to get more people assistance that are living rough sleepers. We're able to get them there, get them accommodation, give them wraparound support through social services as well, try and help them with whatever issues are going on in their life, to try and get them into a good home and ultimately and eventually into a job if they want. I'm not saying it's perfect, it's not. We do need to do better as a country, but there's a lot of effort going into this and we are seeing results.
So a report says that government's spending $140,000 a day to house needy families in motels, and that's kind of more of a bandage rather than prevention. How do you respond to that?
Well, Auckland needs more homes and we're building more homes, but it's a historic issue, not something you can fix overnight either. And if we have to go and spend money on motels to get people off the street or out of their cars, then we should be doing that. And I think it's the right response. In a perfect world, every person would have a home, and every person would have their own home that they own and that they care for. But we don't live in a perfect world. And where we have people that don't have a home, where systemic and historical issues, where Auckland and New Zealand hasn't built enough homes under government that are both blue and red, we need to find ways in which we can accommodate people. And if motels are the way to do it in the short term, whilst we ramp up building, whilst we open up more land, whilst we put more funding into social housing and building those social housing, then we have to do that.
So housing...
I don't think we should be unhappy with the fact that we're spending money on a motel but getting someone off the street.
So Housing New Zealand is a state-owned enterprise that the government makes a dividend out of. Is that correct?
No, it's not taking dividends.
So there's no sort of profit from this at all, because Labor's claiming that you milk a that National milks a dividend out of it, and they are wanting to change that to a public service. Should they be in government?
But I guess you have to understand too with crowdfunding companies and with local government when they do this too, they have to put some commercial incentives in place to get the companies to perform, and company directors are used to working towards providing dividends. That doesn't mean that the government was making some profit. Housing New Zealand is hundreds of millions of dollars, and probably billions of dollars, poured into it over a term of government. It does not make a profit. Housing New Zealand is there to provide social housing assistance to people. The dividend approach to managing the company was one way to put incentives in place for the directors to perform and for the company to perform. We're no longer doing that, and that's the right thing to do based on what the public feedback was. But I think ultimately, Housing New Zealand is there to support people. It's doing more. We spend $2.5 billion a year on social housing assistance for 300,000 families, and we need to do better and better going forward, building more homes, getting more people into houses, getting people off the street through a range of mechanisms is actually working. But ultimately, it all comes back to building more homes, and Housing New Zealand is part of that solution too.
Awesome. Well, I know you're a busy man today, so I'll let you go. And, good luck for the next few hours.
Have you voted yet, Kelly? Gonna go and vote.
I'm doing it tomorrow, Jamie Lee. It's a bit of a last-minute decision, I think. All right, see you later.
Thanks, Kelly. Bye-bye.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.